such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome to The Winds of Change. I'm David Carollo, sitting in today for Father Anthony. It's a beautiful afternoon, just come off some very busy times here, and just came off of two big trips to California and here to Chicago for the Catholic Marketing Network. But it's noontime, so let's start with the Angelus, if we can. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary.
She conceived of the Holy Spirit.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord.
Be it done to me according to thy word.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of death. Amen.
And the word was made flesh.
And dwelt among us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. So welcome, and it is always a beautiful thing to start with that prayer, and as I've said many times when I've been on this show, it pains me that we as Catholics don't do our prayers as we do at 6, 12, and 6 with the Angelus. I look at having traveled extensively, like in the Mideast, and I've seen how in the Muslim world and in the Jewish world, how they have their prayer times. The Muslims five times a day, you know, and what's wrong with us? Here we are. We have the true faith, and then when you proclaim that Angelus, you're really speaking of the history of our salvation. And I think I'd love to see us as a society come back into that type of thing. But anyway, we go on, and I think we have to make this a better world, and these kind of things are what it's all about. Looking at Mass today, and of course today is the Feast of St. Peter Chrysologus, and interesting, you know, he was the golden world, worded as it claims, and the Magnificat says, you know, served as the 5th century bishop of Ravenna, in the governmental seat of the Western Empire at that time. He had the favor of Empress Galla Placidia. She heard his first sermon and lent her generous support to his building efforts in Ravenna, one of the most beautifully adorned cities of Christendom. Of Peter's writings, one letter urging the heretic Eusebius to remain in union with the church. It survives, as do a number of sermons. His homilies are vivid yet concise, marvels of brevity. That's where he's good. Brevity is probably what keeps people's attention. Peter labored among his flock in Ravenna until his death around the year 450. He was declared a doctor of the church in 1789. And I love how he talks about remaining in union with the church, because we are at a time right now where there's such frustration, very grave difficulty, because we are, you know, the church will survive. There's absolutely no doubt about that. We have that promise from our Lord himself. But we're in a time where people are being pulled away and being separated in many ways, and I think there's division amongst bishops and priests and laity, and I think we are, and it reflects what's going on in society in general right now, the division that exists politically in this country. I've never seen it that vitriolic and that difficult, and it's I think it is a reflection of what's going on. The church and the world are parallel. The church influences the world, and when the church stops influencing the world goes into chaos. And I think that's where we're at today. I think we have the solutions. Of course, I am the executive director of the World Apostle of Fatima, Our Lady's Blue Army. I operate the Blue Army Shrine in Washington, New Jersey, and of course, nationwide, our apostolate, and internationally. We have, of course, our beautiful shrine, which is on 150 acres in western New Jersey. And we also operate Domus Pacis Fatima Retreat and Hotel and Retreat Center in Fatima, I should say. Of course, right now, we're struggling like everybody in the hotel business. I just had two busy weeks. Last week, I was in California at the Napa Institute Conference, and it was a beautiful thing to see because it came back together after a year of not being held due to COVID, and there were 700 to 800 people there, and it was just really beautiful interacting with so many different people. And I mentioned that about the hotels because the Bush family are the ones who run the institute, and they own hotels and everything. And it was they were talking about they have maybe 15 hotels. And the difficulty they've gone in. We have one little hotel in Fatima. It's this one little 3-star hotel, 110 rooms, but a beautiful place with our chapels and all. So I could, you know, everybody was struggled in this time. I think we're going to survive this. I hope we do. If Our Lady wants it to happen, it will. And that's where our faith lies. But it's difficult because there's, you cannot run an entity like that without people. So, and more importantly, you know, there's the financial aspects of it, which I, as a director, obviously have to keep my hand on the pulse of that. But more importantly, it's those who are not being fed the spirituality, in our case, the spirituality of Fatima, because our founder, Mr. John Hafford, our co-founder, had a twofold thing for bringing the apostle, bringing Fatima to the people, and then bringing people to Fatima. And that's why that hotel retreat center was built in the 1950s. And the number of people that have come across, we even at one point owned our own Boeing 707 and had people going across the ocean up through the 80s in that fashion. So, there's been so many people have traveled and been part of it, both being part of the message of Fatima here. I got involved because my family was active in the Fatima apostolate, the Blue Army, here in Chicago since my youth, since I was a baby. And so it was always in our lives. And I guess, you think you know everything as you grow up, but these are the things that come into your head that you're given by your family, mm-hmm. but that's that's what the old saying, teach a child when he's young, and when he's old, he will not depart his ways. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. But it was interesting at the time at Napa, interacting with so many wonderful people. And I just, and then of course this past week just ended. We were at the Catholic Marketing Network here in Chicago, so it's been a somewhat of a whirlwind. Last night I gave a talk to the downtown chapter of Legatus, which was always a wonderful group of business people that come together for that organization, and the faith is strong. Okay, despite the things that are happening. That are happening in this world, what are happening in this, our church. Our church is under attack, like you can't imagine. And I was, just to recap, some of the people I had great conversations with, the one that sticks out the most was Bishop Strickland of Tyler, Texas. He was in California with us, and he's a real trooper. I went to one of the breakout sessions that he had, and then I got a chance to speak with him a bit, and then we had dinner together, actually, and just really conversed about so much. And what a solid bishop he is. He truly understands. He's pretty much not afraid to say the things that have to be said. And I think that's, he doesn't care if other people necessarily in the church or in the world agree with him. He knows what's right. And he makes the statements about what is right. And I think that's very refreshing. And it's not to criticize others in the hierarchy or in the clergy or even the laity, but clarity, you'd have to be willing to go down for the cause. He made some very good points in he spoke a lot of the pro-life movement, and he said if there is a hill to die on, this is it. He said, because it's foundational to everything else we do. And I love that, because you have to stand up. And the late Father John Hardin always told us that you have to be, if you're not willing to take the position of a martyr, be willing to offer everything for the faith, this church and this country will not succeed. We have to be the martyrs for the faith. At least, and I don't mean that everybody's going to go to a bloody martyrdom, but you have to be willing to be martyred, whether it's through cancellation, whether it's through, there's a whole cancel culture out there right now. And if you don't say the things that some people want to hear you say, boom, you're gone. You're marginalized. This is how things were done. I hate to say it, but if you look at where we're in a time here where we're suffering from the similarities of what happened prior to the French Revolution, what happened in Russia in 1915 with things being, people being canceled out. And of course, they were in different types of governments in different times. But that's the reality. I mean, we have this Marxist playbook, I guess we can refer to it as, and that's what it is. And I say Marxist not to be political, but to point out that Marxism and communism, had as its goal the elimination of the faith. It wasn't necessarily the elimination of the material things, that the deprivation as part of that certainly was more of a byproduct. The goal was to get rid of the faith. When the Bolsheviks took Russia in 1917, it was to get rid of that God. We don't need God, we don't anything, and that was what they went to eradicate. Okay, they didn't go tearing down bank buildings and other things necessarily. They tore down churches. And of course our apostolate was founded 30 years after the Fatima messages, when Our Lady had said back in 1917 that, if my requests are not heeded, Russia will spread her errors. And those errors spread so much throughout the world. By 1947, the beginning of the Cold War, things had truly spread. Their errors had spread. All of Eastern Europe was now, primarily was under, behind the Iron Curtain, as the term came to be known. And our apostolate was found as a blue army of prayer to counter that red army of atheistic communism. And that's where we came from. And that's where we started. And of course, today, as a public association of the faithful in the church, the World Apostolate of Fatima, we operate to a greater to lesser degree in 100 countries around the world. So it's very important that this message of Fatima that Our Lady gave, it's still relevant today. St. Pope John Paul II said in the late 90s that the Fatima message is more relevant today than it was in 1917. I believe it's even more relevant in 2021 than it was when he said that 20 years ago, 20-some years ago, because I believe that now we are really living in this country. Now we're starting to understand what the persecutions are all about. People prayed for the conversion of Russia. That was so important, and that was noble. And then comes the early 90s when the Soviet Union goes down, and so many people, I think, look at, mission accomplished, okay? And then I think they kind of lost track of what it was, but what they don't realize is how much those errors had spread to the rest of the world. Today we deal with it, looking in this country, the secularism, this dictatorship of relativism that our Pope Emeritus Benedict spoke about. We're living in it, Look at China. I mean, it is the biggest, they understood that they had to have more of an economic model different than what the Russians had, but make no mistake about it, they have a form of communism that is so brutal, it's scary, and I think and because it has maybe a degree of appeal to it. So we have to be, staying on track. The church, again, as I said, being particularly at Napa with the bishops that were there, there was a consensus, a major concern, of course, or at least disruption, if you will, over this latest motu proprio from the Holy Father, limiting the extraordinary form of the Mass. That was major discussion over there. And I think it's really shaken the world. I mean, I know at our shrine, the Blue Army Shrine in Washington, New Jersey, we do have the extraordinary form of the Mass once a week. And our bishop, Bishop Checchio, came around and said, just continue. There was no restriction put on it. We appreciate that. I know here in Chicago, I think there really are no restrictions at this point. So I don't know. But something was taken away, some freedom was taken away, the potential. And some dioceses, I understand, it has been very restricted now this quickly. So I don't know. I mean, and I'm not a Latin Mass person per se. My wife and I do like to attend it occasionally. We're We're still parishioners over at St. John Cantius, and that's a big part of the liturgy there. But anyway, so it goes to where the church is. When I come back, we're going to have to take a break here soon. And when I come back, I want to bring in a guest who is very much in line with what we have been we've been about as an apostolate for many years. And it's about the divine mercy, which is something of the extension of Fatima, as I like to say. So we have to take a break. This is David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change. AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony. And I wanted to move into, in the second segment, we were talking about Fatima. And, of course, here we are at the Sanctuary of Divine Mercy, so special. It's so special that this church really does kind of stand out. Like the sign said outside, you know, if this parish can move an expressway, it can move you. And I'd aware that, of course, you know, the history of the Kennedy Expressway being routed around St. Stan's. We love that. But I have with me today a special guest who very much understands the mission of Divine Mercy, and that is Rich Wenzel with Divine Mercy 33. You know, yes. Rich, welcome.
Thank you very much, David.
Yeah, thanks
so
for,
good to be here with you.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And we were talking earlier before the show about the importance of Divine Mercy. Well, we were both together at the Catholic Marketing Network here in Chicago this week, mm-hmm. and it was great to see Rich there, and I'm glad he was able to come on the show today. You know, the Fatima message is what I promote, what our apostle promotes, and the Catholic faith, of course. But the Fatima message, you know, there is such a lead-in, in my opinion, to the next phase, and that's when our Lord appeared to Saint Faustina in 1931, when those apparitions began. And of course, you know, I'm married to a woman from Poland, so there's always been a great devotion in the Polish people, and we've been there. Excuse me. One year we was the week after Easter, and we did our novena, and we ended it up at the tomb of Saint Faustina. That was very special on Divine Mercy Sunday. Yeah. So, you know, it's always been a devotion deep in our hearts, and of course. You know, we've known your organization and your people, those beautiful images of Divine Mercy around. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the Divine Mercy 33?
Thank you. I think we want to start by speaking about why do we have this image and the importance of the image. And that'll bring us to, I think, where we're going to get to as to bringing out the images. But first off, the gift of that image was, you know, through St. Faustina, sure. When she had apparitions from Jesus and was told to paint the image. Of course, we all know St. Faustina, you know, never approved as the beauty of the image as she would have liked to have seen it. But she went along, and over a course of time, she would see this image every weekend, and it got painted. And she went back to, you know, another apparition where Jesus says to her, you know, it's not in the brush strokes that this image is, but in my mercy. And I think that's what we all have to understand is we are promoting mercy. And many of us have already found in our own church and our own gift of mercy. And I think that's probably what motivates, especially me, in bringing out the wanting to bring images of divine mercy because of I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to have received God's mercy, and I know how I want to share that. And, you know, I think of my own kids when I think about this, and I think I want them to see Jesus, and they're not the ones that are walking in the church doors. Yeah. But I want to say, hey, you know, I just want to happen to be, you driving around this highway, you're driving on this roadway, I want to just happen to see Jesus where that is. Yeah. But that's my thing. That's also Jesus's, what Jesus told us. And I think just to build up to where we've gotten to is he told us that this image, after being painted, after being honored in the chapels and in the convents, it is intended to be taken out of the cap, out of the chapels, out of the churches, and everyone should have access to it. We find this in our diary of St. Faustina. And further along in the diary, he points out, he says, I will reach souls through this image. Sure. And I only want to have this image be available, if possible, to all souls.
Well, Rich, we spoke.
Because that's what Jesus wants.
Well, exactly. And we spoke before the show about mm-hmm. how these are images. Mm-hmm. And we say images, and of course, we compare that also to our Pilgrim Virgin statue images. You know, mm-hmm. these were things that were produced with the help of those who receive those inner, you know. Right. So when St. Faustina gave the description of what she saw, and it was when Sister Lucia Fatima gave the description of the lady, okay,
right.
and the sculptor made the beautiful statues. By the way, our Pilgrim Virgin statue, which was at the Catholic Marketing Network, is now at St. John Cantius for several days until Sunday.
Oh.
It just happened. It worked out well, and had been there many times. But the, you know, these are things that they received in their heart, and to the best of right. their ability, explained it to an artist who made them and did pretty close.
Yeah, right. Because neither were artists, of course.
Exactly.
And they both thought they had to be artists in the right. beginning. They thought, how am I going to do this? I've right. got to get this done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what came into their hearts, they gave yeah. through their mouth, and it was right. they were able to make. And that is a beautiful thing. I think that, again, is you know, and when people see these, and I always love seeing these beautiful images of divine mercy. Of course, we've joined in with your organization many times. And the greatest thing I remember is that beautiful procession we did with the we escorted by the Chicago police up to the northwest side.
All the way down Milwaukee Avenue.
Our Lady of Fatima and Divine Mercy.
Right. Our Lady of Fatima was brought, and, you know, you have the
We have the motorhome.
The
right,
motorhome.
Right. Our Lady's Chariot, as we call it.
Our Lady's Chariot. Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. But it was just a beautiful sight seeing five or six of the police officers were in front of you.
And then the line of people behind.
Oh,
that was
it was
so
just incredible.
Yeah, we've been pretty good at closing down the streets of Chicago. And
but that was at the time when we actually brought it out to where the clinic was. And right. at that time, and there was, I think there might have been a 40-day for life camp going at that time.
I believe it was, yes.
So there was prayers there, and then through the night, there was also a 24-hour vigil for it. It was a wonderful, wonderful event.
Yeah, and it was by that infamous abortion clinic. And but I say, you know, this isn't meant to tweak people there.
Mm-hmm.
These things were meant to put into their hearts what Our Lady wants, what our Lord demands from us, okay, is put this in their hearts to not want to be part of that. Right. Legislation that limits abortion is only a result of enough hearts understanding the necessity for it, okay? And eliminating these laws that are allowing this type of thing are only going to happen when enough people are converted.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. Mm-hmm. You know, and not only converted in belief of how important life is, but also converted to understand that you can't just be indifferent to it. Okay, I don't like it. You know, well, I don't like it. None of us like it. But you have to say, okay, now I have to do something about this. And it's not to condemn individuals. It's not to damn individuals. On the contrary, we want to help save their souls.
We do.
And that's what we're all about.
That's okay? Our one soul at a time.
Well, yeah, and that's what the Fatima message is all about. Certainly the St. Faustina. And like I mentioned, you know, the last of the Fatima apparitions was to Sister Lucia in 1929 to her. Of course, the other two children were long dead by then. Was to bring us to bring the request that the Holy Father consecrate Russia, okay? And that was, again, 1929. 2 years later, now you start the Fatima.
Then we bring up, sure. We bring in Divine Mercy.
Yeah, and maybe I think.
The beginning of the apparitions.
Yeah, and I say it's God saying, okay, you didn't listen to my mother, now I'm here, okay? Yeah,
well, or he followed his mother.
Or he followed his mother.
I think he might have followed his mother, and he knows, hey, now we have to bring in the big guns here.
Yeah, well, there's one thing interesting that somebody pointed out to me, that there were people, there are non-Catholics that have attached onto the Divine Mercy devotions.
Oh, sure.
And I think because they do have an issue with intercessory prayer, so they have trouble with the whole concept of the Blessed Mother and the saints and praying to them. And this was a direct thing to God, which I think is beautiful. Okay, I think, and that maybe had that effect that others that might not have been attached, like the Fatima message, were able to comfortably come on to this devotion. Right. And that's beautiful. I mean,
I think one of the classics, we would also, be in Daly Plaza. You know, we've been there for many years.
Sure, been there with you.
And as a matter of fact, one of the classics of this lady that pointed out, she says, we're always trying to, promote, a little more than just the what's going on. She says, I don't know about all that, but I do know one thing. Jesus, I trust in you. I get it.
There you go.
And that is the whole point. Jesus, I trust in you.
Yeah.
Trust.
It's just trust. And you have to trust because we have to persevere till the end. See, that's what it is. I mean, I guess maybe we say, okay, well, I've converted. That's one thing about the whole non-Catholic thing. Okay, I have a relationship with Christ. I gave my life. Now I don't have to worry anymore. Nah. Okay, just remember, Judas was an apostle.
Right.
Who rejected in the end. We all fall. We come back. So we have the sacraments, And I think and the mercy of God is so powerful. I've always traveled extensively many, many times to the Holy Land and places. And the Church of St. Mary Magdalene always strikes me in Galilee. Mm-hmm. And if you know the story of that church, but the first time I walked through there, I'm going around, and each one of the columns was dedicated to one of the apostles, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's St. Peter, and there's St. Matthew. And I come around a corner, and I almost fall over, and there's Judas Iscariot. And I look at him. I've never seen his image in a church, And then I look again as I look around. You look at St. Peter, you look at the others, and they have, they have gold, and they have light shine upon them. And here's the image of Judas. It's dark, it's drab, he's sad, okay? The point is, he was an apostle. He was, maybe even himself performed miracles or saw miracles perform, but rejected God. So we have to always understand that we have the ability, certainly, to convert and to, be saved.
Except.
We also have the ability to walk away and apostate.
Sure.
And I think that's what St. Peter rejected Christ, too. He betrayed him also.
Oh, yeah.
But he repented.
Right.
Okay. And Judas did not.
There's the difference.
Your difference. And I think that, to me, that is the type of thing that we have to always keep in mind. Until our last breath is drawn, we have to persevere. Yeah. And look at that image and say, Jesus, I trust in you.
Yeah.
And
I think that's a day by day, and that's an hour by hour, minute by minute sometimes.
Well,
right?
It is. And I know that my wife Dorothy and I are very much involved. The Little Sisters of the Poor have been for many years. And they often talk about, at the end of people's lives, especially priests, that the devil tempts them so much to feel that they did not fulfill their mission, to despair, to walk away, say, oh my God, I could have done this. Or maybe mistakes they made going along, whatever, personal or in their ministries, really attacks them in the end, okay, as they're dying. And because she's seen it, they have seen this often. And it's with everybody, but particularly with priests who pass away, And it's like...
Interesting.
Isn't it? Yeah. And it's that he wants you to despair. Judas despaired.
Right.
Okay, and looking sad. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if church notes make a proclamation on his final disposition, but doesn't look good.
Yeah, well, I think it points it out. I mean, we have those are, that's mercy.
Well, it is mercy, and you know, free will. We have free will to the
and
very end.
And we had to be shown that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
We had to understand that.
Yeah. And as I said, you know, Jesus, I trust you. That makes it just it's such a beautiful, you know, you see that image, you see it up there, and of course, you know, I've been fortunate. That's been a big part of our spirituality for
right.
quite a long
well,
time.
Well, I think John Paul II, when this began, you know, in 2000,
yes.
And we officially within our church,
right.
It had already been approved before that, of course, you know, in Poland.
Yeah.
But his point was, this is now the image and the message of the new millennium.
Yes.
And preparing us for the times that we're in right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that we are, you know, getting ready for the, you know, and what is very interesting, David, that I think we also should make mention of is we have 2,000 years of history.
Yes.
But in that 2,000 years of history, never once has Jesus ever appeared to someone to say, paint an image of me.
True.
And that's a, you know, I mean, he's preparing us for where we're at right now.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we started back in 1931 getting ready for coming up to what's, you know, some of these things that we're talking about earlier on in the show.
Sure. I was in Rome in 2000 for St. Faustina's canonization.
Right.
And I think, you know, if, always laughed at Poland. Has you know has been invaded so many times in the last century. That would have been a perfect day for them to do it because every Pole was in Rome.
Oh yeah, yeah. You
know? It was a wonderful day.
Big day for that.
Yeah, it
right?
was a big day. It was a beautiful day to be there, and you know, and the devotion. That was my first real I think understanding of Saint Faustina, Divine Mercy, and all of that. Really came to see what it's about, and I've always of course.
Well, of course, you make mention there too that she was also. And Divine Mercy was also the first saint of the new millennium.
Exactly.
That was April the 30th, yep. the 2000.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
You know, what a remarkable day that had to have been for you to see
It really was. It really
that
was.
Historical day.
Yeah.
Because that was the homily that John Paul II gave and
exactly.
said Divine Mercy Sunday will now follow Easter Sunday from that point
established
forward.
Established the whole thing. Yeah.
Established right there.
It really was. And
one of the main points of Divine Mercy is, you know, is Divine Mercy Sunday and
right.
the resolution of sins and
and
so many things that happen because
so
of
many
that.
Things that come that beautiful novena you start on Good Friday and
the 9-day novena.
9-day novena.
9-day novena.
Yeah, yeah.
And many of our probably most of our listeners here will be about the chaplet. So that was that came about from there too.
Yeah, and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Of course, we do that every day at the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey. We start with confessions and the rosary at 11:30.
Oh.
Noon Mass, seven days a week.
Oh, good.
And then we have adoration from the end of Mass till 3:00. And of course, we close it with the Chaplet of Divine Mercy at 3:00.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful way we've been doing this for quite a bit of time. We really reinstated it strongly during the COVID lockdown when it was interesting. We couldn't have Mass, but we could open the chapel for adoration afterwards. So Father would have Mass behind closed doors. It was streamed. And then we'd open the door and have exposed the Blessed Sacrament. It was allowed, and so we stretched it as much as we could because we couldn't deprive people of the presence of the Blessed Sacrament.
Wow.
You know, so now it is a, but again, that's who you know. That's our, you know, this is our faith. It's all in the Eucharist. It's all in Christ, the heart of Jesus. You see this coming out.
Everything flows
back up to Fatima. It's the the heart of Mary, the Immaculate Heart. Anyway, we have to take another break, Rich. And when I come back, I'd like to continue on, talk about some of the history, and then the apostle, what you're doing with these images around different places.
Thank you, David.
David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ. And I want to continue my conversation here with Rich Wenzel. Rich, as we discussed, you know, our organizations have worked together a lot, here, especially here in Chicago, mm-hmm. with the Divine Mercy. And, of course, this beautiful parish and the everything here. We have several parishes, my boy, when I like to say, and this is one of them. we love to come here. And so many
this
times,
is right in the heart of Chicago, too.
It is the heart of Chicago, exactly.
And I so many times say that the Divine Mercy and the Sanctuary of Divine Mercy here is the heartbeat of Chicago.
Yes.
Because it's so positioned, not where the head of the city is,
right.
But it's right at the heart moment. And this is so perfect of a location.
Well, it is. You come down to Kennedy. Many times we've come through and said, let's stop and pay a visit to the Blessed Sacrament,
right.
Knowing that there's adoration. And they do have perpetual adoration here, and that is
24/7.
24/7, and if there's ever a time that this city needed it, it's
oh,
now,
boy.
Okay? And this world. And I mean, we need it, not just the city of Chicago, but everywhere. We need, because, and again, the Fatima message. What is the Fatima message? It's about reparation.
Right.
Eucharistic reparation, okay? You know, that's penance and Eucharistic reparation are the essence of the Fatima message.
Right.
Same thing with Divine Mercy. You're here, you know, kneeling in the presence, the true presence of Christ. And when you have a time, and we are in a sad time, if these numbers are true, they still shock me, that as many as 70% of Catholics do not believe in the real presence. I'm stunned whenever I think of that.
Yeah.
But it is the case, you know, and you can see it. I mean, you can see it. You can see what's going on in the world. You can see it, the lack of piety even in churches. You know it.
Unfortunately. And there's some remnants, and I think remnants are, so many times been what Jesus worked with.
Oh, yeah.
And keep things going and keep things moving, but we've got our work ahead of us.
We do.
Pope Benedict
often spoke. It was Father Ratzinger, before he was Pope Benedict, who spoke about this, that the time will come when there will be a smaller, purified church, okay? Now, that's kind of, when you look at our beautiful edifices here, you think, oh, my God, are we going to have these churches? And this? Well, I hope so. But they're not the most important thing. As beautiful as this church is and these other beautiful churches. These are the temples. But right here, right here in our hearts. We can have pretty churches and not have the faith.
Right.
And we can have the faith without having pretty churches. And so I think we have to understand, maybe some of this
I think the opportunity is for everyone to realize that what our gift is that we've been given from our faith is really in our hands.
Yes.
And to really be given, passing that along. Yeah. And one person and one soul at a time. And we don't have to go out and proclaim so much as we have to live what we've been gifted.
Right. Well, our founder, John Hafford, wrote 35 books. So he was a prolific writer. And one of them that we've just republished is the Night of Love, which is about the Nocturnal Adoration, which we started. And there's some that were started. And here in Chicago,
even right here at Stanislaus Kostka, they've got, I think once a month or a couple of times a month, the men come together and have a nocturnal night.
The Blue Army here, we had three in the three north, west, and south areas forever. I think COVID might have knocked that out a little bit, but it's all there. There's one parish in New York that has never stopped since, I think, 1960, if I'm not remembering.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And it's called Night of Love. It's a beautiful book. And then The World's Greatest Secret, another one, of course, about the Mass and the catacombs. And these are books that I think, anybody's interested in these, BlueArmy.com, come on our website, and they're available.
Okay.
And but they really are, this is where Divine Mercy and Fatima, everything just all come together. It's in the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the Eucharist, and our belief as Catholics. You know, we are promoting things in a little different directions, but look how often we come together at our events, because it is that there's so much symmetry. As a matter of fact, I want you to talk a little bit about the beautiful images that you're sending out your apostolate, that we are going to be putting one at the shrine in New Jersey.
Sure.
We want to be
sure.
That's a big part of our devotion.
Yes. Yeah. I think that begins wherever we are. And again, I make mention of we the faithful need to stand up and say, this is the gift of our time. This is the time that we need to bring mercy. Everyone that if we have 70% of our own people are not believing in the real presence, let's bring them to Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I will reach souls through this image. What a more powerful way to do evangelization than to be able to just bring Jesus out to the world wherever we are.
Yeah.
That means if you want to put it out in front of your home, we have beautiful images that are prepared for home images. They're small enough to go in a garden or in a prayer area or in a flower bed. And just to bring, and all the images are printed on both sides.
Yeah.
I always remind myself my own image when I have it in front of my home, where it's always, hey, I need to bring mercy in, but I also have to take mercy out.
Yes, yes.
And it's very important that we have we start from where we are at. And if anyone is a bit of a go-getter and wants to say, hey, let's do a little more with images, we'll talk about that in a minute, but let's talk about some of the images that we have around in locations. One, of course, is right here on the Kennedy Expressway. That happens to be the largest image ever produced, by us anyway, that's 22 foot tall, and it's actually on three different panels. So you see it from you see it from the north, you see it from the south, from the east, from the west. And it's most appropriate to call out to, and many times the traffic stops right at these points to say, you know, hey, take a moment. And I think if you're in the Chicago area or come on up and down the expressway of the Kennedy, everyone would have an idea of where this image is at and how important it is. If you go to the Google Docs, they tell us that there is like 320,000 potential views a day.
Well, that's right. Not to interrupt you, but on the north side of the rectory building here, there's the banner. Well, Father Matthew was so gracious to us through the centennial period. We had our banner up there. It was so simple. It had an image of Our Lady. It said, the world is in desperate need of help. We have the answer. And then BlueArmy.com. Very simple. People can. And the traffic, we got a lot of traffic because the number of
views.
A lot of views. Well, if you notice that other billboard that's across on Division Street that was put up for here. You
know, yes.
I believe that's like $4,000 a month. So if people are paying that much money
commercial
billboard.
Or more.
Maybe more now, yeah.
Or more.
But you would have to say that that's getting some real
prime.
It's prime, yeah.
Prime.
So this area, but it's right.
But the point is that we're trying to reach one soul at a time.
That's all.
And that's all we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Doing what we can, where we are, with what we have.
Yes.
And it's one soul at a time.
Yeah.
So that happens to be one of the primary images, but there are images around the city. And I think if you and I want to go back and pick up from where we were just, you know, where we connected on one of the events that we had, was at the clinic that was, and I say was, on Elston Avenue.
Right, Elston Avenue.
And that particular clinic operated for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And many of our listeners knew Joe Scheidler, who was one of our main
May rest in peace. What a good
rest
man.
In peace.
Yeah.
But very loyal and very much prayed at that clinic over and all. I mean, every week it was a ritual for him to be out there.
Right.
I think on Thursdays.
Yeah.
At any rate, we partnered with the people across the street from that clinic in order to place the image, thinking, oh, let's get it there for a week, let's get it there for 2 weeks. Well, I think we're going on 8 or 9 years at this time, we started with the week.
Right.
But at that point, it took 3 years for that image to be out on that parking lot. And of course, you could view it from the entire intersection, you could view it because it's 15 foot tall, the entire structure. And even when you walk into the clinic, you happen to see it pretty vividly.
Yeah.
And it took 3 years after that was there. and along with visits from our, you know, Our Lady of Fatima,
sure.
but and many different masses is scheduled. But the clinic closed on October the 18th, which is the Feast of St. Luke of that particular year. And this past October, we actually had a mass one more time out there for the 5th anniversary of the closing of that clinic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And remains is the remaining is the image of Divine Mercy. Mm-hmm. And it brings just a lot of people there. If you go by there right now, you'd see flowers, you see you see candles, and faithful people are taking care of it. I don't know where that all comes from, but it all happens.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, I just recently went by there and saw it, and I said the same thing.
And you probably in the winter, I might see the person that might be there standing in the snow and just praying in front of our Jesus. And it's real impressive how it reaches out, but it stays there as a memorial to the babies that were taken on that corner.
Well, yeah,
and that was
a
corner that was an abortion clinic that actually took the lives of late term.
Yeah, I know.
So it actually took the people that were coming in from Indiana or Wisconsin or all the states around us.
Yeah.
And we have to keep those souls in our lives well at this time because they just through this abortion, they just, you know, unfortunately didn't make it. So
many of the women are really victims. I mean, they truly
victims.
Are.
It's unfortunate.
I mean, when you see where they locate and it's I'm not the person to represent the pro-life movement, although we're part of it. You know, we help.
We all are.
Yeah,
we are,
and we participate with 40 Days for Life and such.
So
but, you know.
So
but,
the point being that we actually have the images there, and everyone is always all the images are available and welcoming. Everyone, day or night.
Yeah.
And so many times it's so nice to go to any of these images at nighttime because you can do drive up at most of the locations.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Another highlight, and I think it's been very interesting, and I happen to see Father Benedict from the rector from up at Marytown. He was at the convention. You might have run into him as well.
There, yes.
Mm-hmm. And he pointed out, he says, you know, during the pandemic and on his watch, that, you know, because they were being told, you know, hey, everything has to shut down. And he says, we're going on 100 years of going into, you know, maintaining 24/7 Eucharistic adoration.
Right.
100 years. And he says, on my watch, I wasn't going to be the one to close this down.
No.
And he says he puts up a sign in the chapel for his priests and his brothers and the laity that work in the building. And he says, moments. I got everything was signed up. We maintained, even though the doors were closed, we maintained the 24 adoration. But his point was, he says, I would look out and families of 5, 6, they would be kneeling in front of the Divine Mercy image outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's a very welcoming image there as well to bring all the pilgrims that are going into the Marytown. And many people know Marytown, but if you don't know Marytown in Libertyville, I think it's very important that we get people up there and have a chance to also, if you're on that side of the city, 24/7, always welcome. To the pilgrims.
So we have to take another break,
okay.
Rich. When we come back, I want to discuss in the organizations that we work with and we've been, you know, together and how this is being promoted so many places.
Oh, right. Okay.
So this is David Carolla sitting in for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back. David Carolla sitting in for Father Anthony today on Winds of Change, and I have with me Rich Wenzel from the Divine Mercy 33. And more information on it, you can go to divinemercy33.org and on their wonderful organization. Rich, we were talking off the air here a moment ago about, of course, you know, we work a lot with the Marians and Stockbridge and Father Chris Alar and Father Halloway, and they've done so much on Divine Mercy.
Oh, they have.
To promote it.
They have.
Know? And one thing Father Chris and I were discussing one time was the, you know, with so many people that have died without the benefit of the sacraments during this time, again, not to say that this or any devotion substitutes for the presence of a priest and anointing and the sacraments, but for those who unfortunately did die, I believe the mercy of God is there, and we need to invoke His mercy more and more for these people.
Oh, and I think that's why we need to bring Jesus so much more present to the world that we're in, right. and the only way we're going to get Him more present and more present in our world is us the faithful, and us the faithful. Many of us already been formed in why divine mercy of our times and why divine mercy right now. And we're the insiders.
Yes.
We have to address the outsiders. And I think that's the whole thing about Divine Mercy 33, is really encouraging everyone to reach out from where they are to touch their world, whatever acre they're touching, with, you know, mercy acts, with you know, corporal spiritual works of mercy, but, you know, the divine mercy. And the images are such a great tool for us right now,
yeah,
to take that to our world and take where we are.
Right. Well, as we go in a time of deprivation, that's why I believe this thing was so diabolical, what's going on, you know, because, and I'm not getting into conspiracy theory here, but the reality is, you know, the evil has taken advantage of a situation, and locking out churches has just, it is a crime. I hate to say that. And I don't mean to be indicting priests and bishops for doing what perhaps they felt was a necessity,
right.
Okay? But, you know, we needed God even more during a time like this, okay?
That's it. We need to accelerate.
My God, I mean, you know, people needed to be on their knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you know,
during this time, especially.
During this time, more than ever.
Yeah, and that's what we've always been, that's always what we know, and that's what we believe, and
yes,
that's exactly where we go for our strength.
Right, right, and that's why we accelerated everything we're doing. Yes, we were fortunate, we were streaming our masses for 5 years before the pandemic, so we were ahead of the game. Our local pastor in New Jersey called me up desperately, "What do I do?" So, oh, we'll help you, Father. We got him set up right away.
Okay.
And it was nice, and they were able to stream mass. We did it before, and we do it now at BlueArmy.com, or you can go through any of our media and find it. Our big events, of course, are broadcast even nationally. But, you know, and that's great. But it's still not being there, okay?
It's not in front of the Eucharist.
Exactly. And I remember, even as a child growing up in Chicago, I remember WGN always had Mass for the Shut-Ins on Sunday. Remember that? That was
okay.
The first televised Mass, goes back. I mean, I'm in my 60s. And but fine, if somebody is bedridden or someone is homebound, okay, then you have to do what you have to do.
Right.
But there is no substitution for the sacraments, okay?
Precisely.
That's why the priesthood, we have to pray for our priests. It's so important. We have to, you know, we have to support them so they can do their work. And I think that's really where we have to be. And I think this devotion, though, although, like I said, it doesn't make up for the sacraments. It can substitute in some cases, at least. But more importantly, it keeps in the mind for people. Maybe they come by and they see that divine mercy thing here. And I tell anybody who comes down to Kennedy Express, if you're listening, you see that divine mercy and you see Saint Stands, get off at Division
Street. There you
come on to Noble and take 5 minutes in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Say hello to our Lord.
That's all you have is 5 minutes. Take those 5 minutes.
Take it.
Okay. If you have an hour or all night, do it there.
But, right. David, I want to just make sure that our listeners know and understand how to go about. Possibly some of them might like to do their images in front of their homes. Others might say, hey, listen, I have a location that has a great potential of bringing divine mercy. And hopefully we're going to reach, the people that are passing by the highway. The street traffic, wherever it might be, and how do you go about doing it so it doesn't become such a big thing and saying, oh, we got to get these guys to do it. No, you can do it yourself, and it can happen very quickly and very easily. Take a photograph of the area that you think that the image should be. Send the photograph to us on our Divine Mercy site. We will have a rendering done for you at no charge. Send it back to you with the image placed of what you might think would be potential. And don't even talk to people about it. Just do it on your own.
Yeah.
And don't make it a big audience. Oh, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. It's not how you get things accomplished in Divine Mercy.
Yeah.
Divine Mercy is very personal.
Sure.
So you want to take a picture. You want to send it in to us. We'll render it, send it back to you with the image of Divine Mercy placed where you have told us. Then I say maybe partner with one other person, two other persons, to say, are you interested? Pray on this. And then possibly talk it to the pastor at that point. And say, yay. And if you, in our work, I am convinced 90% of the effort is put into getting the placement approval.
Sure.
All the images that are out there, and there's many, many, many images around Chicago, we're in Connecticut, we're in Iowa City, we're out in Indiana, we're in Michigan. Many images are out there already. And I can say none of these images have gone through the parishes to pay for them. They have all found donors on their own or found a method to get them paid for. And I think there we go again with Our Lady. But, once we have the placement of Jesus approved, you go to Our Lady and ask her, and she'll show you how to find the funds to get this thing paid for at that point in time.
I agree with you.
And that's kind of the nutshell of what we have found that works.
Sure.
So, you're talking about being apostolates of the Blue Army. Well, I'm saying about being an apostolate of trying to bring the Divine Mercy image. People, ordinary people, can get this accomplished and get it accomplished in a big way if they understand that it's up to them to get it done and that they take an authority on themselves to say, hey, I can do this. I'm going to try to do this.
Yes.
I'm going to try and take the steps that are necessary and bring this to accomplishment.
Yeah, no, that's how it's done. We are the church.
We look at the laity.
And I guess maybe our parents' generation was different. I know that my mother and father. I remember for example when I was maybe 10 years old and the Mass was changing, 10, 12 years, whatever it was, and asking my dad one day, and I went to Mass and I was confused. Now Father's facing us, and things have changed.
And
I said, why is Uncle Frank reading the epistle? I mean, it didn't make sense to me. My dad's response was this: that's how they do it now. In other words, and he wasn't, and it's not indifference on his part. They obeyed. The church was strong. The priest, they just, okay, that's the way it's done now. And they just accepted things.
We followed.
And that was good and bad, because I think a lot of abuses that came into the church came because of that obedient attitude. Obedience is good, but, maybe it wasn't.
Can be harmed.
Exactly. And I think we have to understand that many difficult things have happened in our world, in our politics, and as we've gone forward, in our church particularly, we need to be proactive. So, Rich, thank you so much for being here today.
Such a delight.
DivineMercy33.org,
and we're there to serve.
Okay, and BlueArmy.com, and I want to thank you for being here today. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
All right.
there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.